Angie has made it easier than ever to connect with skilled professionals to get all your jobs projects done well.
I absolutely love this because, you know, if you own a home, it can be really hard to maintain. It's hard to find people that can help you for a big project or a small. Well, whether it's in everyday maintenance and repairs or making dream projects a reality, it can be hard just to know where to start. But now all you need to do is Angie that. And find a skilled local pro who will deliver the quality and expertise you need. Angie has over 20 years of home service experience, and they've combined it with new tools to simplify the whole process. Bring them your project online or with the Angie app, answer a few questions, and Angie can handle the rest from start to finish. Or help you compare quotes from multiple pros and connect instantly, which means you can take care of just about any home project in just a few taps. Because when it comes to getting the most out of your home, you can do this when you Angie that. Download the free Angie mobile app today or visit Angie.com. That's Angi.com.
Be a part of the best pro wrestling podcast today by supporting the Going In Raw Patreon. You can enjoy access to the live taping of the show, exclusive merchandise, and patron-only episodes, and so much more. Support Going In Raw today. Click the link in the description.
Hey, friendos, Steve here.
And Larson.
And welcome to Going In Raw, Count Out, the show where we count wrestling things down here at YouTube.com/. Steve and Larson, and available wherever fine podcasts are. Be sure to hit that subscription button, the subscribe button, rather, and the little notify bell on YouTube. Let you know whenever there's a new Going In Raw episode. We're also available on the Patreon at patreon.com/ Steve and Larson. We have a number of wonderful reward tiers. You can help the show financially. It really helps support us and gets you all this great content. Lots of rewards to choose from, including watching live streams of us doing this.
Yes.
And other things.
Yes.
We're also at prowrestlingtees.com/ Going In Raw, where you can get, I want to see if the latest Going In Raw design is there, Larson.
Nope.
Not there yet. But by the time this,
I imagine,
this is only Tuesday. This is going up on Saturday.
Yep. Could be there.
The Shower Me With Gold logo shirt.
Could be there.
Should be there.
Could be there.
Yeah.
Anyways, today we're going to talk about title changes that take place at house shows. We just saw AJ Styles over this past weekend on July 7th, in fact, defeat Kevin Owens for the United States Championship at a house show at Madison Square Garden.
We're about 2 hours away from finding out how they're going to be dealing with that on SmackDown, of course, by now. It's probably 5 days old.
Yeah, we all know about it.
Recording this early.
Yes. Anyways, title changes at house shows these days don't happen very often. Of course, in the older days of wrestling, before television, every show was a house show. Title changes hands all the time.
Yeah. So, unfortunately, there's no Frank Gotch, George Hackenschmidt title change, the title changes on this particular episode.
No. There is one older one, just for historical significance. But otherwise, these all happen in what I guess you would call the modern TV era of wrestling.
Yeah, when it's less likely for these to go down a house show. These days they do it, I think, seemingly to build some buzz. Like in the case of AJ Styles, we'll talk about that
during that entry.
First of all, let's get to it. Number
10.
Diesel beats Bob Backlund for the WWF title.
Yeah, this took place at a Madison Square Garden house show, November 26, 1994. The Madison Square Garden is going to show up a lot.
Yeah, by the way, if you're looking to get a possible title change, if your hopes and dreams are resting on watching a WWE title change at a house show, Madison Square Garden probably has the odds favored for that to happen.
So a little backstory first. We've talked about this in our most shocking title wins episode of Count Out a few weeks back.
Yes.
Bob Backlund was a surprise world champion for WWF after beating Bret Hart for the belt at Survivor Series 1994.
This was 16 years after he originally held it.
Something like that, yeah. 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 So the situation there was that Owen joined Backlund in his corner, and the British Bulldog was in Brett's corner.
Mm-hmm.
I believe he had to throw in the towel, to win the match.
Yeah.
And so Bulldog knocked out,
seemingly
for like 15 minutes.
For a very long
time. Forever.
Stunning, nobody went and checked on him.
So Owen seemingly feeling bad for his brother who was locked mm-hmm. in the cross-faced chicken wing, seemingly again for 15 minutes.
Yeah.
Pleads with his parents, Stu and Helen Hart, to throw in the towel to save Brett from further pain and suffering yeah. at the hands of Bob Backlund.
Stu looked at Owen like he was on crack.
Yeah,
like,
we Stu don't give up. No, not at all. But Helen Hart apparently feeling some pity for her son Brett finally relents, grabs a towel, throws it in. Bob Backlund is the WWF champion.
Yeah, shockingly.
Shocking fashion.
What was the crowd's reaction to that?
They're confusion, like, I think.
What? How is he going to be champion?
Yeah.
He's like a million years old.
Yeah. It's like 16 years past when he was really supposed to be champion.
Exactly.
So anyways, 3 days later at a house show at Madison Square Garden, Diesel defeated Bob Backlund in 8 seconds. So it was a kick, a jackknife, a three count.
Yeah, exactly.
That was it.
Yeah.
Diesel was your champion.
Kevin Nash, your new champion. And then he held it for almost a whole year, like a week short of a year.
358 days.
Yeah.
Before losing it to Brett.
At Survivor Series 1995. And then he sort of had about a 6-month farewell tour. He said, Vince, I'm going to go take a lot of money from Eric Bischoff and Ted Turner.
He said, I have this offer. I don't want to leave WWF. Yeah. If you match this, I'll stay. And Vince says, I can't afford to pay you.
I'll give you $50,000 a year.
And so they're offering me $2.5 million.
He went to WCW. It was $1.2 million.
$1.2 million. There you go.
Diesel in 1996 went to WCW, joined mm-hmm. Scott Hall there, formed the NWO.
Yep.
And history has generally regarded Diesel as one of, if not the worst drawing champions in WWF history.
Yeah, I mean, he had it for a year. It was, in his own words, he doesn't deny that, but he says nobody was drawing at the time.
And if you look at the state of professional wrestling, specifically WWF at the time, it's not good.
There was not a lot to be excited about.
No, wrestling in the mid-90s was not good.
Yeah, it's funny how low it got post, like, Warrior, I guess, you know? Because Warrior was supposed, you know, people were still into it. When Warrior won the title.
Yeah.
And then, you know, within, what, 2 or 3 years of that happening, Hulk Hogan started getting booed, you know, and then he left to go do Baywatch. No.
No. Thunder in Paradise.
Thunder in Paradise.
Baywatch.
That'd be great if he was on it. Him? Are you kidding me? Him and
David Hasselhoff.
Hasselhoff together? Oh, man, talk about the mega powers. Anyways, wrestling was just crap in 1995, man. So it really isn't necessarily on Diesel.
Well, because no one else drew. Bret Hart didn't draw.
Right.
Shawn Michaels didn't draw
exactly.
When they were in the early mid-90s.
So wrestling in general just had to find itself again. And that didn't really happen until, like, the, you know.
NWO and Stone Cold. And
exactly.
The Attitude Era.
And, you know, you look at the NWO. They drew. They sold a lot of shirts, and Kevin Nash was right there. That was his deal.
Yeah.
So, pretty shocking, though, for that to happen in a house show, and it was only 8 seconds.
Yeah.
Number nine. AJ Styles beats Kevin Owens. This happened.
For the U.S. title.
Last weekend.
Just happened.
These days, you know, this was kind of shocking, man. Like, all of a sudden, our Twitter notifications, our Twitter feed starts blowing up.
Yeah.
AJ Styles won U.S. championship. It's very surprising. It's shocking. I think they do it these days, like I said, you know, I think they do it these days kind of to generate buzz about WWE live shows.
Yeah, and we'll get to another instance that happened recently where a title changed hand at a house show.
Mm-hmm.
And it's definitely to make these house shows, these live events, seem more unpredictable.
Right, exactly. Anything can happen.
How often does a title change hands at a house show? Hardly ever.
And look, even without that, I can attest, I haven't been to a live, you know, WWE live show in terms of a non-televised one, a house show in a couple of years. But whenever we've gone, they're a blast.
Oh, yeah.
They're a lot of fun. The wrestlers are a lot looser. They have a tendency not to feel the need to stay completely in character, they don't need to adhere to, you know, the TV canon, if you will, necessarily. Mm-hmm. They can goof mm-hmm. around a bit more. They're just a lot looser and fun, and you know, every once in a while you get some big surprise. It's so funny, though, how hardwired we are not to accept the idea that this can happen, because if you look at the video of this, and I don't know, I wasn't there, I've just seen video of it, and my read is people are just they're confused. They're expecting it to be reversed somehow. Like they pop because, oh wow, title change has happened. Now they're going to give it back, right? Because this is not televised. Oh, they're not. Cool.
Yeah.
Let's go home.
Yeah. Yeah, and you know, we saw word of it happening before there was any sort of official acknowledgement.
Mm-hmm.
And at least me, I saw it and I was like, okay, it's cool that happened.
Yeah.
Well, let's wait and see how WWE approaches it. So right, if they exactly. acknowledge it as yeah. official title change, okay, that's canon. Yeah. Done. Yeah.
And, I mean, the thing is, they understand, though, in this day and age, they know that fan footage is going to be out there
oh, yeah.
for people to watch. They can control. They can somewhat control, you know, their messaging. They can do this in as an alternative to a televised title change, and it'll still maintain its legitimacy because of the reach of social media.
Yeah,
you know, so.
Sorry, I was curious to see what happens going forward because I heard, but I haven't checked myself, that WWE.com pulled AJ versus Kevin Owens from the Battleground webpage.
Oh.
I am checking on that right now. Okay. Let us see.
Find out if that's indeed the case.
Yeah, it is gone. So far, it's just Orton, Mahal, Cena, Rusev, and then Usos, New Day. Those are the only three matches displayed here as being
well,
on the card.
There you go, man. I mean, I'm assuming Kevin Owens is going to get his rematch, but there's still, what, 3 weeks till Battleground?
Yeah.
2 weeks till Battleground? So there's still time for them to do the rematch on TV.
Yep.
So we'll see. This also, it was kind of interesting. All this happened in one thing. Like, Austin Aries got released.
Yeah, earlier that day.
Earlier that day, they released, like, a trailer for Kurt Angle's 24, and Dixie Carter was there. And then I think it was the next morning that Alberto Del Rio and Paige.
No, it was Monday morning. This was on Saturday.
That was on Saturday, but I think the actual
thing incident.
happened on Sunday, I believe. And then, of course, this came 1 week after fellow Bullet Club leader Kenny Omega won his own U.S. title. New Japan, people were saying, do you think this is a response to that? No, I don't think WWE cares about that.
No, they decided to change up storylines and have the title change take place here rather than Battleground, I guess.
Yeah, I imagine they were killing a couple birds with that stone. Number eight.
Eight.
Shawn Michaels versus Marty Jannetty for the IC title.
Took place June 6, 1993 at a house show in Albany, New York. Now, Marty Jannetty and Shawn Michaels were kind of on again, off again, engaged in a feud following the breakup of the Rockers,
mm-hmm.
which happened in 92, I believe, or early 93. 92. Because Jannetty and Michaels had a match at Royal Rumble 93, which is supposed to be the start of their feud, but Jannetty was released shortly thereafter. He made a surprise return on the May 17th, 1993 edition of Raw.
This is when Raw was just getting... When was the first edition of Raw?
Around then.
Yeah.
Came out from the crowd, challenged HBK
mm-hmm.
to a Intercontinental title match, won the match, was the Intercontinental Champion.
He was trying to give that guy a good restart
yes.
there on his return.
Yes, but then 20 days later at a house show, as I said, in Albany, New York.
Yeah, they said, this isn't working.
No. So HBK won the belt back with yeah. the help of his new bodyguard, Diesel.
That's right. And so we watched the way they broke this was there was a...
It was Gorilla Monsoon at the news desk.
On some sort of... This wasn't an internet series. I guess this was just televised on...
Superstars,
Raw,
like that.
Superstars. Yeah. I don't know, something like that. We just saw like the single clip, and it was a news update. Gorilla Monsoon was talking about, and all they have were still shots. It was not filmed, from what we can tell. And he starts referring to this mysterious new bodyguard.
Yes,
not by name yet.
Wearing a jogging suit.
Exactly.
He had at least and a windbreaker.
A windbreaker and sunglasses
and a mullet that was starting to grow out.
Yeah, and this mysterious bodyguard. We here, his name might be, what was his last name in WWE and WCW? Vinny Vegas?
Mm-hmm.
Vinny Vegas?
Mm-hmm.
Or Vinny Vega? No, that's Pulp Fiction.
It's Vinny Vegas.
Vinny Vegas, yeah.
Yeah.
Anyway, so, of course, Diesel went on to
be a WWE entry champion and NWO and all that stuff. So, after HBK won the belt, he was eventually stripped of the title in mm-hmm. September of 93 because he failed a drug test. Apparently, he took steroids.
Not a good idea.
And then Marty Jannetty would go on to feud with Doink the Clown.
Yeah, not a great trajectory for Marty.
No.
No. Number seven.
Seven.
Booker T versus Chris Benoit. Now, this is weird because on April 30th, 1998, Chris Benoit challenged Booker T for the TV championship at a house show, and I believe that was in Augusta, Georgia.
Yes.
And Benoit won, and it was at a house show, non-televised.
Let me ask you this.
Yeah.
I don't know if you know the answer to this question. Was this during their Best of Seven series?
I think I heard that it was... This was not part of their...
No, I know, but was it during that span of time?
I think it was during that span of time. But then when Booker T when Booker T finally did show up on TV after all this, he lost it to Fit Finley. I think it was around the same time, though. Maybe it was on the heels of it. I don't know. Anyway, so on April 30th, Booker T lost it to Chris Benoit. The next day, he won it back. And that was in Greensville, South Carolina. The next day, the 2nd of May, in Charleston, South Carolina, Booker T lost it again to Chris Benoit. And then, on the 3rd of May, in Savannah, Georgia, Booker T won it back. And then the next day, on the 4th of May, on Nitro, in Indianapolis, Indiana, Booker T lost it to Dave Finley, to Fit Finley. Well, Dave is his real name.
Yeah.
Dave Finley now is Dave Finley Jr.
Yeah.
He lost it to Fit Finley. So a lot of title changes. Now, this is according to the death of WCW, I believe written by Brian Alvarez and a few others. It said WCW had a problem. This is a quoting from the book. WCW had a problem at the Augusta, Georgia house show on April 30. The main event was scheduled to be Flair versus Hennig, but with Flair being out indefinitely and Hennig being just not there, fans were very upset. So upset, in fact, that hundreds of them demanded refunds. After thinking over several scenarios, the decision was made to do last-minute change and have Chris Benoit beat Booker T to win the TV title. It worked. The fans were overjoyed. So the decision was made to do it again the next night. And then again, and again, and again. The belt changed hands 4 times in 4 days at the house shows, going from Booker to Benoit to Booker to Benoit to Booker again. So, yeah, they did that. That's a very WCW thing to do.
Very much so.
Like, it's one thing, hey, let's have a title change. And then the crazy thing is, on TV, they never acknowledged it.
Yeah.
They never said that actually happened.
But at least according here, this is Wikipedia, so who knows if this is the official title history. They have them all down here.
Oh, okay. All right.
I was trying to find out about the Best of Seven series. And it was 1998.
Okay, all right.
Oh, but no one was TV champion yet. It was to become number one contender.
Oh,
I think.
Okay.
Because at the end, Great American Bash 98, Booker T defeated Chris Benoit to become number one contender for the WCW World Television Championship.
Who had it at the time?
I don't know.
Okay. Interesting.
Sorry, we're doing some research on the fly here.
No, that was. I remember that that feud though. That Best of Seven was great.
Yeah,
it was really, really good stuff.
Oh, okay. This is what happened. So that was the first match of the night, and then Booker T would defeat Fit Finley to win the title.
At the same show.
This was in June of 98. So these house show matches happened before that.
Oh, okay, all right. Well, you know what? They probably looked at these house shows and were like, man, these guys can really put on a show night after night after night.
Mm-hmm.
Let's
actually telecast these.
Let's get these in a best of seven, yeah. So kind of cool. Like a piloted version of their feud.
Yeah.
Number six.
Six.
Samoa Joe versus Finn Balor for the NXT title. This was shocking.
Yeah, it really was. And this is like kind of the first time I recall a major title changing hands at a house show, at least since I came back to watching wrestling in 2011.
Yeah, yeah.
So I know some other titles have changed hands, tag championships and such, but it's like the first world title that changed hands.
We talk a lot about Edge doing a lot of neat things. NXT in general has done a lot of neat things. You know, they kind of spawned the women's revolution. They did this.
Yeah.
And then they had, I kind of like, you know, not all the matches were great, but when they did the Samoa Joe, Shinsuke Nakamura series.
Yeah.
They did it all on the circuit.
Yeah.
You know, and then just videotaped them all.
Yeah.
And then showed them on TV.
Now, I'm unsure whether I don't believe they showed this entire match. I think they just showed highlights on NXT.
From what I recall, they just showed highlights.
Yes.
Yeah.
But anyways, this took place at a house show in Lowell, Massachusetts.
Mm-hmm.
April 21st, 2016.
Yeah. And again, Twitter went crazy.
Yes.
It was like, you know, all of a sudden tons of fan footage started rolling in. yeah. of this happening. This is a big deal.
And again, it was a situation where, okay, is WWE going to acknowledge this? Yes, it's official. Joe held the title for 121 days before dropping it to Shinsuke Nakamura at NXT TakeOver Brooklyn 2.
Yeah.
We were there.
Yes, we were.
This whole feud between Joe and Finn started back when they were tag team partners during the inaugural Dusty Rhodes Tag Team Classic.
Off the baby.
And then Joe turned on Finn because he wasn't getting a title shot that he thought he was promised.
Yeah.
Joe challenged Finn for the NXT title twice before this at NXT TakeOver London and NXT TakeOver Dallas. And that Dallas match where Joe got busted open early.
Oh, that was a great match.
Bleeding all over the place. And he kept on pushing the doctors away because he just wanted to fight.
That was great.
Visual, I know. Man. He lost both times. Finally winning at the house show. And then NXT TakeOver The End. Joe successfully retained the belt in a cage match.
Mm-hmm, yeah.
That was another good match.
Yeah, that was a good one.
All in all, a really good feud between Finn and Samoa Joe.
I mean, that's the thing. I honestly think the days of, you know, the house show title change and then it not being acknowledged, that's far
into that.
You can't do that
anymore.
You know?
Everybody's got their phones out now.
Exactly. Number five, the Rockers win tag team gold, Larson, and then they don't.
Okay, this wasn't a house show.
Here's our caveat entry.
This was during a taping for the main event 4,
mm-hmm.
which I believe was an NBC special.
Right.
Took place October 30th, 1990 in Fort Wayne, Indiana. And it was the Rockers versus the Hart Foundation in a best 2 out of 3 falls match. Now, the situation was the Rockers won the match, and then Jim Neidhart was going to be let go by the company.
Mm-hmm.
They renegotiated. He was welcome back.
Mm-hmm.
And so they're going to put the belts on the Hart Foundation again and just not acknowledge the Rockers' reign. That was helped because apparently NBC wanted the show to be 1 hour long. Well, this match was like 25 minutes.
Because it was on Friday and not on Saturday.
Yeah, so they chopped the match
from
the telecast to fit into NBC's time frame. And then the official explanation from WWF, I think, was the title change was canceled due to a ring rope malfunction, which happened during the second fall. I think when the turnbuckles got looser, came off or something. And so that was the official explanation for it.
That's so weird, but I guess the Rockers actually defended their titles a few times before the WWF rehired. So, I mean, I imagine this was within a couple of days.
Yeah.
And they, you know, had a couple house show stops. And they defended the title, so a couple people got to see that. It's just, yeah, it's so weird. Like, they couldn't do that these days.
Yeah.
But that's always been kind of a weird thing to me, was, like, the understanding that the Rockers were never actually tag team champions.
Officially, yes.
But they were this close to being official.
You know.
To actually being tag team
champions.
It was just one
contract negotiation gone wrong away from being tag team champions.
It was that, and then you know, being on one, it was one day away because if it was on Saturday, they would have had it. They would have put it in there and they would have done it. So, yeah. And then that's so bunk. The title change cancellation was due to a ring rope malfunction. That's terrible.
Yeah, that's a bad idea. I mean, if the match never aired, they can just act like it didn't exist. I don't know when this explanation came out.
Yeah.
But apparently the match is on one of Shawn Michaels' DVD sets.
Oh, really?
So I'd be interested to check it out. It's probably good.
HBK Best of Volume 3.
Yeah.
You can find that now on, what did you used to sell those on?
eBay.
eBay, that's right, yeah. Is eBay still a thing?
Yeah.
Yeah, it is. That's how I got. Man, I got to find an adapter for that N64.
Yeah, we got to play some virtual pro wrestling.
Heck yeah. Number four.
For
Ivan Koloff versus Bruno Sammartino. This is, of course, the classic incident where Bruno Sammartino,
the garden went silent.
Yeah, Bruno on an 8-year run with that WWWF title, and Ivan Koloff, and Bruno finally said, I don't want to do this anymore.
Well, he said, I'm tired.
I need a break. Bruno needs a rest.
Yeah.
I really want to take a nap. Ivan is good stuff. Let's put the title on him.
Pretty much. So this happened at Madison Square Garden. Again, this is before the days where every wrestling show or a lot of wrestling shows was televised. So more or less every wrestling show was a house show.
Yeah.
Madison Square Garden, January 18th, 1971. Again, about 8 years after Bruno won the title.
Mm-hmm.
We'll get to that later.
Yeah.
So Koloff won the match. Crowd was stunned. And I guess everybody was cognizant of the fact that Bruno was a love champion.
Mm-hmm.
Shocking loss.
Yeah.
A potential riot could happen. So the ref like raised up Koloff's hands three times, but they never presented the belt to Koloff.
Mm-hmm. They didn't give him the belt.
In fact, he left while Bruno stayed in the ring.
Yeah.
Koloff left without the belt.
Yeah.
Bruno stayed in the ring, so everybody's attention was on Bruno while Koloff could get out of there.
Yeah, and Koloff left with his life, I think that's all he cared about.
Yeah, pretty much. Got the belt later. Because he did defend it 3 weeks later against Pedro Morales. Maybe he defended in between, I don't know, but 3 weeks later he lost it to Pedro Morales.
Yeah, Bruno apparently took some exception to that because he really thought that they could have made some money off of Ivan Koloff. He was a big fan of his. He mentioned this in, I think, an interview both on Legends and then the Table for Three that he did with Orton and Flair, which are both great viewing experiences. And apparently he did, I want to say, a Talk is Jericho podcast, and a lot of people are saying that interview was fantastic
as well.
So I really want to check those out, or that out, rather. Yeah, Pedro Morales defeated Koloff 3 weeks later, like you said. Bruno about 3 years later, almost 3 years later, reclaimed the belt December 10th, 1973.
And had it for 3 years, basically.
Three more years before he probably once again said, I'm tired of this.
Wait, is that when... He dropped the superstar Billy Graham.
Okay. When did Stan Hansen...
It was during that.
It was during... Okay.
All right. It was during the second reign, I believe.
Okay. He was like, this is too much, man.
Yeah.
Number three. Bret Hart versus Ric Flair. Bret Hart's first title reign. The legendary Bret Hart. The legendary WWF champion, Bret Hart.
Yes.
His first title reign was untelevised at a house show in Saskatchewan,
Canada. Took place October 12th, 1992.
Yeah.
Now, this match was later released on Coliseum Home Video.
Remember Coliseum?
On a VHS release titled WWF Smack'em Whack'em.
Yeah.
This tape also features the very first...
Smack'em Whack'em.
The very first WWF ladder match between Bret Hart and Shawn Michaels.
I'm deciding right now, Larson. The second live pay-per-view from WCPW is going to be called Smack'em Whack'em 2.
Could have been worse.
Oh, Whack'em Whack'em, Jack'em Whack'em.
That's what I was expecting.
Jack'em Whack'em. There you go. Very good. But 2, anyways. This tape, the Coliseum Home Video, Jack'em Smack'em, also featured a ladder match between...
I just said that!
Bret Hart and Shawn Michaels.
I already said that. Gosh, you never pay attention to me.
Because my creative wheels are turning, Larson.
Because you were thinking of Jack'em Whack'em.
I was. He held the strap for 175 days before losing it to big old Yokozuna at WrestleMania 9.
Who held it for about 6 minutes before Hogan came in out of nowhere and just beat him for it.
So you know what's crazy? So in doing research for this, I was trying to find the first televised appearance of champion Bret Hart to see how they addressed it. And I don't think I found it. What we found was something...
Oh, it seemed like that was it.
It was a month later. That was from November. November 14th. Okay, so this is a full almost a month afterwards. So I imagine there was probably... Superstars.
Yeah, maybe.
And I couldn't find it on the network. I imagine it's probably out there somewhere. It's probably relatively easy to find.
But they still acknowledged the title change as if it was relatively new, which it was.
Relatively new, but they didn't have, like, Flair's...
Flair didn't seem concerned about it
at all.
Flair
didn't seem concerned about it. And I imagine the first time they talked... And maybe I'm wrong. Maybe this was. But I imagine the first time they talked to Flair on TV afterwards, he was probably like, I'll get it back, or something like that. He didn't really give a shit.
And because 3 weeks afterwards, he was teaming with Razor Ramon.
Yeah, exactly. I'm not going to take this opportunity to run down Bret Hart some more. I just find it interesting that, like, just in that segment alone, so we in on that episode that I was looking at, it cuts from a backstage segment, Mean Gene, he's with Razor Ramon.
And Flair.
Flair and Mr. Perfect.
Yeah.
Right, so they're all talking. And then later on in the episode, you get Bret Hart finally. That room had three guys who had... infinite more charisma than the guy who had the championship. I'm sorry. I know. I'm just saying.
It's your opinion, man.
Yeah.
It's valid.
Why didn't they ever put that title on Razor Ramon, man?
I mean, he probably has on a mission. He didn't care about belts.
That's irrelevant.
Oh, I know. Didn't they put him on like Springer to talk to like a Make-A-Wish kid or something? Man, put the belt on him.
I know, they should have. Scott Hall was money.
Mr. Perfect. I know Mr. Perfect had a lot of injuries going on.
He was money, too.
He was so much money. Yeah, Bret Hart's money. Bret Hart was.
Well, not this time. This is kind of when this thing started going south for WWF.
Yeah.
And, Bret really didn't draw that. Well, granted, you know, the wrestling landscape in the early mid-90s changed a lot.
A lot very quickly.
Hulkamania kind of, you know, falling out of popularity and no one really there to take that void, fill that void. So this was the last time Flair would hold a championship in WWF.
Second to last. He held the IC title.
I meant during this run.
During that run. Okay, sorry.
And he eventually lost a loser leaves WWF match against Mr. Perfect on Raw in early 93 and went back to WCW.
Oh, so that's how they wrote him off.
Yeah.
Okay, I didn't know that. Interesting. Cool.
Things we learned doing this show.
I know, right? Of course, Bret Hart went on after he lost that strap to Yokozuna.
Got it back a few more times.
Disappeared into obscurity. Number two. Luthes versus Buddy Rogers.
This took place January 21st, 1963 in Toronto, Ontario, Canada.
Way before they had TV in the first place.
No, there's TV.
Not Canada didn't have TV.
Oh, my God.
What are you talking about? So this is historically significant. Why, Larson? Because it led to the birth of what?
The WWWF, which has become the WWE.
So Luthes, of course, the dude who lived till he was like wrestling from the age of like, I don't know, 15 until he was 100.
Yeah.
He was the NWA world champion. He had the title for around almost 3 years, 1,079 days, before dropping it to Gene Kaniski back when we can have champions called Gene Kaniski. Thez was 49 years old at the time. Jeez.
So the story behind Luthes winning the belt is actually really interesting. Apparently, promoters in the National Wrestling Alliance, the NWA, felt that Buddy Rogers showed a preferential treatment towards promoters in the northeastern part of the country.
Right.
Apparently, a lot of wrestlers didn't really like Buddy Rogers.
Mm-hmm.
The NWA decided to vote and take the belt off Buddy.
Yeah.
And put it on Luthes.
Again.
Yeah, I know. Because I guess Luthes was kind of like half retired at this point. He wasn't even like active full time.
Right.
He was.
He was still a big draw.
He was like Brock Lesnar.
Yeah, he was.
So, I guess Buddy didn't want to drop the belt. So, the promoter of the show, Sam Muchnick, put in place three measures to ensure the finish of the match went as planned.
Yeah, man.
These measures are as follows. It was a one-fall match.
Mm-hmm.
I guess the custom at the time was two out of three falls, at least for championship matches.
Yeah, that's crazy.
Second, Muchnick threatened to give Buddy Rogers bond. I guess every champion had to give $25,000 to the NWA board of directors.
That's a lot of money back then.
Yeah, for the belt, I believe.
Yeah.
And they would get that money back when they lost the championship.
Yeah.
Well, Muchnick said, okay, if you don't drop the belt, we're giving your bond to charity. You won't get it back.
Right.
Third, and this is my favorite.
This is great.
The NWA thought that Luthes could just like beat Buddy Rogers and win the match.
Well, yeah, that's why they decided to put it on him. Number one, they all like Lou. And number two, yeah, they all knew Lou was legit.
Yeah.
Like, and he could beat you with a knee press. Luthes press.
I know. Following Buddy Rogers' loss, Vince McMahon Sr. and Toots Mond withdrew from the NWA and formed the WWWF, the Worldwide Wrestling Federation. Citing Fez's lack of drawing power in the Northeast. And then they named Buddy Rogers as their champion officially April 11th, 1963.
So they took the guy that they knew could draw hardcore in their territory.
Yeah.
And they made him their champion. So.
Yeah, but then apparently Buddy Rogers was not really loved as a champion in the Northeast. He's still a draw, but people didn't want him to be champ.
That's going to lead to our next entry.
Yes.
Number one. Bruno Sammartino versus Buddy Rogers. So 1 month later, roughly 1 month later, right after Buddy Rogers lost the title, Luthes, they formed WWF, and they just put the title on Buddy Rogers, claiming...
Well, no, they had
that he won it in a tournament in Rio de Janeiro, which is... What?
No, it didn't happen.
Yeah, which is a nexus of fictional wrestling tournaments.
Yeah, because something similar would happen for the Intercontinental title.
about a decade later.
Exactly.
15 years later. So anyways, yeah, this match took place at Madison Square Garden, May 17th, 1963, as you said, about a month later.
About a month later.
Bruno beat Buddy Rogers in 48 seconds.
Yeah. And I think Bruno has a story about this, too, and I swear he said something along the lines of he made sure they weren't sure if Buddy was going to just give it up, if he was going to do the job. And I think Bruno said, and I watched the interview because it's there, but I'm almost positive he said something along the line. He basically told Buddy, you either do the job or I'm going to make sure you do the job. You're done.
Yeah.
Like, I'm going to do it for you. And Buddy Rogers did end up doing the job.
Yeah.
Buddy Rogers claimed to have suffered a heart attack a week prior to this bout, but all wrestlers had to pass a physical conducted by the New York State Athletic Commission before they can compete. And I'm pretty sure Bruno said that he thought that was full of crap.
Yeah.
Also. It's funny because from what I was able to gather, like you said earlier, nobody really liked Buddy Rogers until his later years. When they all liked him. Like, once he was out of the game and the politicking stopped, I would imagine, then they all liked him and they all revered him and they really tried to prop him up.
Yeah.
But, of course, Bruno went on to have a massive, massive run that lasted until 1971.
2,803 days as champion.
Wow. That's a very long time.
That is crazy. That's twice as long as Hogan's first run with the WWF title.
Yeah.
So that's about 1,400 days plus.
Never, ever see that again.
I don't think we'll ever see anybody best CM Punk's last title reign. 420-whatever days. Don't think it's going to happen.
If they ever got Roman to where they wanted to get him?
No, I think it's more likely if they don't get Roman to where they want to get him, they put the belt on him for 3 years.
Yeah, they could be.
Could be.
But, we would definitely recommend checking out all those different interviews out there with Bruno. These days he seems to be doing the rounds a bit more.
Mm-hmm.
And his story from his birth to now is a fascinating one. So, I mean, dude, that is totally a movie waiting to happen.
Oh, yeah.
It's surprising nobody's jumped on
that. Yeah, no, I'm shocked that no one's tried to do that yet.
Yeah, for sure. So that's what we got for you. Let us know what you guys think in the comments. And until next time, we'll talk to you later.
Bye.
Angie has made it easier than ever to connect with skilled professionals to get all your jobs projects done well.
I absolutely love this because, you know, if you own a home, it can be really hard to maintain. It's hard to find people that can help you for a big project or a small. Well, whether it's in everyday maintenance and repairs or making dream projects a reality, it can be hard just to know where to start. But now all you need to do is Angie that. And find a skilled local pro who will deliver the quality and expertise you need. Angie has over 20 years of home service experience, and they've combined it with new tools to simplify the whole process. Bring them your project online or with the Angie app, answer a few questions, and Angie can handle the rest from start to finish. Or help you compare quotes from multiple pros and connect instantly, which means you can take care of just about any home project in just a few taps. Because when it comes to getting the most out of your home, you can do this when you Angie that. Download the free Angie mobile app today or visit Angie.com. That's ANGI.com.